Good morning. Bring you greetings from Florida. I was talking to, please don't get upset, but I was talking to my colleague up here and I was telling him I'm so sorry about what happened on Saturday between Florida State and Miami, but had to get that in. It's a pleasure to be here, standing before all of you, to talk about an interest that is near and dear to my heart. And I have to say I love Boston, but I definitely realize I am a true Southerner when it comes to climate, from what I consider cooler climate here in Boston. With prostate cancer screening, I have a very vested interest in this. I had an uncle that actually went through prostate cancer, the diagnosis and the treatment for it. He lived with us. We lived through it. We had good days and bad days, but he did survive it, and he was cancer-free for 9 years before he did pass away from other health issues. So my interest is very vested, and I'm just here to say that prostate cancer does not have to equal mortality. With that being said, my disclosure, I have no relationship. Okay, so we've all heard of the statistics. We've heard of the information with prostate cancer screening and how it impacts African-American men and men in general. With prostate cancer screening, among non-skin cancer occurring cancers, it is the most common cancer that is occurring. And particularly in the South, it is the second most common cancer, second to prostate cancer occurring in the Pacific. So with just in the South, there's something going on, and it really did perk my interest to see, well, what kind of factors are going on? If we can take a look at factors that affect the individual from a community standpoint, also intrinsic factors, and try to figure out how can we assist our African-American men to receive the prostate cancer screening so that we can decrease mortality rates. And as of right now, with mortality rates, what we're looking at, it's definitely higher when compared to other races. In particular, with African-American men, we have high prostate cancer screening mortality rates of, say, 52.6% compared to 20.6% per 100,000 compared to white men. I think this sums it up. When we start looking at prostate cancer screening, when you have the various organizations, such as United States Preventive Task Force, when you have associations, American Cancer Society, American Urological Society, which are imposing different guidelines, different ages, recommendations for prostate cancer screening, it's no wonder that healthcare providers are unsure of when to offer it, how frequently they should offer it, and so if they're unsure, how are we supposed to educate our men so that they are receiving prostate cancer screening? So as you can see in the depiction, not positive that you don't not need to avoid steering clear of this test. There's a lot of uncertainty with this, and that's one of the things that we really need to try to correct. Now, with my study, I really took an approach looking at it from the individual, and I grouped it into three different types of factors. The first one was the intrapersonal factors, where I examined age, specifically men that were 50 years and older and men that were under 50 years of age. I looked at education, specifically individuals, men that were college educated compared to those that were not, and income. I stratified that into various groups, less than 20,000, 20,000 and higher, 40,000 to 45,000 and 45,000 to 75,000 is over 75,000. And perceived health status, looking at individuals that self-rank their health status as excellent, good, fair, and poor. And with my interpersonal factors, I looked at marital status, whether or not an individual was married, and also I looked at family support, where they have the support of their family, their significant, say, siblings, maybe it was an aunt, an uncle, and then also I looked at community factors, whether or not the individual attended church, and if they did, how often did they attend church, if they had church support, and also if they had access to health care. For my framework, I chose the socio-ecological model as one of my models to compare, say, the community, how the community interacts on the individual to influence a change. And with the socio-ecological model that I love so much, it has the individual at the middle with concentric circles surrounding the individuals that encompasses peer pressure or peer support, community resources, policies, procedures, and also the legislature and how all of that impacts an individual to make a change. And then with the theory of planned behavior, how you have social norms that may impact the individual, how also you have perceived behavioral control and intention, how all of those act to influence the individual actually receiving prostate cancer screening. So my research questions, this is what I wanted to look at, to see how do those factors, and I looked at each factor individually on prostate cancer screening. And with prostate cancer screening, I was able to break it down into the digital rectal examination, the DRE, and also the prostate-specific antigen, the PSA. So with each of those questions, I examine how interpersonal factors, how those interpersonal factors, and how community factors influenced the African-American male to receive a prostate cancer screening. So with the first one, I looked at age, whether or not over 50 years or under, the income groups. I also looked at perceived health status and also education, having that college degree. Interpersonal, again, it was the marital status. It was the perceived health status and also, oh, there we go. And also it was having that marital support. Community factors, I looked again at access to community care. I also looked at the other factors that were involved with the community, church support. And then in my last two research questions, I examined how those additive factors may have had an influence on prostate cancer screening instead of separately. And for my last one, I tested for mediation to see whether the variable of intention, that willingness to actually receive a prostate cancer screening, influenced them to actually receive a prostate cancer screening. And with intention, I only examined the PSA test. Okay, I think I'm back. There we are. So with looking at my conceptual framework, it's divided again into those various sets of factors, the interpersonal, and community factors. All of those coming on to intention, the willingness to take the prostate-specific antigen test, and also how they are, I think I'm back, and also how they are combined to also look at the DRE to see if those actually influence the individual to receive a prostate cancer screening. Can everyone hear me okay? Okay, thank you. All right, so with my sample, I used a sample, a secondary data set from the CDC, the NHANES, National Health and Survey Examination from the year 2007-2008. When it started out, it was wonderful. I had 10,169 participants in it. I was very excited, but after I started going through and narrowing it down to just my African-American men and those that were actually eligible to receive either the PSA or either the DRE, it came down to a total of 377 participants. But I was still thankful for what I had received. The great thing about this data set is that it did oversample for minority populations. And again, with my outcome variables, I was looking specifically at testing each factor on the DRE and also the PSA test. And with my covariates, again, I was looking at age, education, income, perceived health status, marital support, family support, community access to health care, in addition to church support. So with my strategy, basically using wonderful SPSS to do all my computations, binary logistic regression based on, I was looking at my outcome variables, collinearity to make sure that there was no sign of that, looked at variance influence factors, and mediation, I used a three-step method supplied by Barron and Kinney, and to handle my missing data, and there was a lot of missing data, I used what's called the multiple imputation, I'm sure you've heard of that, to try to control as much bias as possible. So for my results, when breaking down each factor and looking at them separately with the outcome as the DRE, my significant results came with age, that interpersonal factor of age, where African-American men that were over the age of 50 were more likely and associated to receive the digital rectal exam. I did not find this with the PSA test, but with the DRE, it did come as a significant result. And with income, when testing for the DRE, as far as African-American men receiving it, all income groups did come up significant. With my community factor, with looking at access to health care, individuals that were more inclined, say to have access to at least 1 to 2 health facilities, they were more inclined, of course, to receive the digital rectal exam. Now, when I looked at my outcome variable of the PSA test, my significant results were found in income, but it was only the income group of individuals that made less than $20,000. So I found that quite interesting. And again, with PSA, the community factor of church attendance, individuals that attended church on a basis of 2 to 3 days per month were more inclined to receive the PSA test, and those results did not come with the DRE. Now, when I regressed all of my factors together, all of the significant factors were still significant, except my factor of access to health care, which again I found very interesting. So I was happy to receive the significant results. Right, now looking at my strengths and limitations, it was wonderful that I did have a nationally represented data set that was provided with oversampling to accommodate for the minority population and the covariates. I felt that encompassing a variety of covariates that address the individual as well as the community, those resources that are available, in addition to support that is also important to receiving those various types of prostate cancer screenings and other health screenings that can really affect the lives of men, in addition to the statistical analysis. Now, limitations, the secondary data set, it was wonderful and did have my covariates. On the other hand, the covariates were already there, and I am very interested in religion and how religion does have an interplay into influencing how African American men and just men in general perceive their health status. Do men of color, do they actually have the belief that if they are following their health screenings and doing what they're supposed to do, are they going to be more inclined to seek health care because they're doing it because their religious beliefs? So I could not exactly measure what I really would have liked to, but it did allow me to measure a lot of the variables that I felt were very pertinent to receiving prostate cancer screening among African American men. And the lack of confirmation from medical records, while all of the information, it was primarily self-report, it would have been nice to have medical records to verify that when they said that, yes, I did receive the digital rectal examination, that medical records did verify that they actually received the DRE. The PSA test, I was able to have records that indicated the individual did take the PSA test. However, with the DRE again, it was all in self-report. And so to sum it up with the implications of that, looking towards the community, looking at resources in the community to try to encourage African American men and look at what factors are out there that help influence marital support and the influence of the wife and trying to get African American men. Maybe with doing education, it did not come up significant in my study, but in additional studies, there were past research. It was a factor that did influence African-American men. And so trying to get education out there using churches, barbershops, even beauty shops who get the word out there with prostate cancer screening and education, I feel is going to be just a valuable resource, which is not only going to help them with prostate cancer screening, but also their health in general. And to sum it up, this last slide, statistically, Elmer didn't actually need a PSA test. Realistically, it might have helped. Again, until we can get past what do we need to do with prostate cancer screening, getting the education out there, and also trying to promote the education and the prevention, the good that prostate cancer screening, until that's done, this is pretty much going to be the end result, unfortunately, for a lot of men when it doesn't have to be. And that concludes my presentation. I thank you for your attendance.